T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This year so far, Trent.
Let me find Trent. I'll ask him for you.
Trent Dilfer.
Dilfer from his end zone. Over the middle. That's complete. Shannon Sharp. Room to run. 96 yards and the Ravens are on the board.
14-year NFL veteran.
For the team to look me in the eyes in the huddle and see 10 guys staring back at you that had ultimate faith in you.
Pro Bowl quarterback for the Tampa Bay Bucks.
Let's look at the offense for the Buccaneers, led by Trent Dilfer.
Touchdown, Tampa Bay. Dilfer is throwing perfect strikes.
Boy, did Trent Dilfer drill that into Horace Copeland.
Super Bowl champion.
Dilfer going deep, and he's got Stokely, and he's in for a touchdown.
The Baltimore Ravens, for the first time in their franchise history, are Super Bowl champions.
Breaking down Justin Fields' tape after every Bears game.
You know, this was so good, Trent. We're going to give you your open back next week.
Thank you. I seriously need it. I mean, I get beat down all week long. And then Mondays, I'm like, oh, at least I get to hear 90 seconds of good stuff.
We're going to find a Fresno State highlight and add that in for next week.
Oh, there actually were a lot of those. So.
And that Fresno State offense is led by a sophomore quarterback. His name is Trent Dilfer. In a word, Dave Rowe, he is awesome.
He certainly is. Dilfer, pressure, hit in the backfield, avoids the sack, throws, touchdown, Fresno State.
Damn it, Trent, God almighty, Trent.
Trent Dilfer with Parkinson Spiegel on 670 The Score.
Trent Dilfer, the segment brought to you by global biotech company Horizon Therapeutics, where our mission to transform patients' lives is personal. We'll get to the Tony La Russa statement that is lengthy and has just been released. When we're done with this conversation, Jalen Johnson will join us at 4:30. Trent is in our Twitch chat, and he's also with us on the Circa Resort and Casino hotline. Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. He's watched the tape. He's here to make us feel better, worse about Justin Fields. Who the hell knows? Trent, thank you as always for the time. What did you see?
I feel way better about Justin Fields. I think I feel worse about the Bears.
Okay. I said it was Fields' best game of the year by far, but that
not even close.
But it wasn't saying much, and I still felt like I saw him play better last year at times than this year. So let's start with Fields specifically. What did you like?
I'll try to keep it quick because last week I feel like I just pontificated the whole time.
We like that though. We like when you talk.
Okay, decisive, really decisive. Rip some balls in the middle of the field off action. Beautiful deep ball, an amazing throw on the third down helmet shot to Pettis that Pettis drops. Movement skills are fantastic. Scrambles, that playmaker bucket, we'll go back to the buckets. I know you guys like that.
Yeah.
So the playmaker bucket was evident. And you look, see, this is what happens, and I did it too. I didn't watch the game live. I watched it on replay. So I looked at the box score first and I'm like, oh, that was stupid because you see, what was it? 11 of something. It didn't look real impressive. And then you see, well, it's two drops. There's 2 to 3 throwaways. And there's 2 knockdowns that aren't his fault. So let's just say there's only 2 throwaways instead of 3. I'd credit him for 3, but let's say 2. Now you're looking at 6 kind of others in the incompletions. So those aren't on him. He had 2 misses. He missed a swing route to the right, and he underthrew an outbreaking route to his right. I can't remember what down that was. It was kind of low at the ankles when it should have been more low outside hip. But besides that, he did a lot of really good things. He didn't get protected. He made chicken soup out of chicken, you know what, a couple times. And he converted some big third downs. I mean, that he played really, really decisively. And considering what he was asked to do, and again, we got to frame this in what they can do what they're asking him to do pretty well. Now, the fumble, the ball slipping out of his hand, I had not seen that outside of a cold weather game. I've had it happen to me a couple times in my quarterback life. Usually it's when the temperatures are around freezing, the ball gets heavy and slick. The conditions didn't seem that bad in New York. So anytime there's a turnover, it's a bad thing. I will say that you can never grade out really well if you turn the ball over as a quarterback. But just for the Bears fans looking for the context here, is Justin get better this week? Yes, he got much better this week.
Wow. That is not something that's been said a lot today in the Chicago media market. I feel, and a lot of others have said, so help us out, that it still looks like he is not seeing what he needs to see as he drops back. And when he gets to the back of the pocket, those plays where he needs to throw because the pressure's there to check down and take those throws, that is not there. There was a stat that came out from Pro Football Focus that in his game so far, he's had 49 throws under pressure and converted only 5 of them into completions. And I know it's asking a lot, but this is what the league is, that you have to convert those into completions. Do you feel like he is seeing what he needs to see as he's dropping back and is ready to make those quick throws?
Yesterday, yes. The only flaw that PFF has, and I like those guys, I've known those guys forever, I think they do a great job, is they don't understand the why of the play. They're doing data analysis without knowing the why on some of the plays and the what. You know, who's supposed to be where? Why is he supposed to be there? What is he supposed to be looking at? Based off TV copy yesterday, I can't think of one play. And there might be one that I'm missing in my. You know, I didn't chart this, but I can't think of one that his eyes weren't in the right place. I'll give you a great example. When they're backed up and he throws the ball way to his left, they get double A gap pressure, which, by the way, is terrible by the center. Well, let's get into this because teams are picking on the center and right guard. So, and that's a tough thing when you're a quarterback, when you know your center and right guard are square players and they're asking to play a lateral game. So teams are asking to play a lateral game and they're square players. So he gets inside pressure, a basic Mike Will stunt inside that should be easily picked up. But Mike has a right slide call. There's nobody to slide to. He should drop straight back, stone the first guy, back comes in, stones the second guy. Clement does a really good job of poking the one high coverage safety, his outside leverage. Crosses his face. Justin's eyes are right there, ready to put it on his outside pad, and the guy's up in his grill. So, yeah, this is what the guys on local talk radio aren't watching. This is what PFF doesn't understand, is that, and you watch him based on what his job is and what he's being coached to do. This is yesterday. Yesterday, his starting point with his eyes, his progressions were right on point. And he just, I mean, it's nearly impossible when you have inside pressure all day long. I don't care who you are. This same type of pressure melted Tom Brady. It's melted Aaron Rodgers. It's melted Peyton Manning. I said it every week is on ESPN when I was there for 9 years. The kryptonite to any quarterback is immediate A-gap pressure in your face. I don't care who you are. When that pocket gets pushed back or there's free runners inside, your number one job is to protect the ball. If you step up and try to throw into that, you're risking ball security. So he's actually doing a great job, or did a great job yesterday, navigating some waters that were incredibly muddy.
We're talking to Trent Dilfer here, Parkinson Spiegel on The Score. There was the play where they're down 14-6. It's 3rd and 10. They're at the Giants' 35-yard line, 3 minutes or so left in the first half. And he takes off and runs for the 12-yard gain, and they get a first down. Darnell Mooney was in the left slot, running up the left seam.
Yes, and they showed it. They showed an end zone copy of it.
Right, and he was wide open. Mooney, Trent, today has fallen on the sword and said it's a 4-vertical play. I think I was missing. I was supposed to be more to the right. It has something to do with learning the playbook more. Fields is looking to the right. I wasn't there. I ran the wrong route. And Eberflus said basically, you know, it's a basic play. It's just vertical for vertical. Mooney on that one is supposed to be bending across the formation. He's supposed to be bending across. He was not supposed to go vertical. I think that kind of caught him off guard a little bit. But he certainly had time on that. He certainly had time and could have rode the pocket more, but he decided to take it because what we were telling him is to take the check down or run on that when they're in that defense.
Yes.
So I guess my question is, Is that a sign that Fields is being a little too robotic? If, yeah, Mooney made a mistake, but Fields should be able to improvise in that spot, or is that entirely not on the quarterback?
No, it's not on the quarterback. I'll give you the why behind it. It's actually, I'm glad you gave me some context there, because I thought two things. You look at the play side safety, so they show that end zone copy, and you see Mooney and who's ever the number two receiver, the slot receiver, running up on the play side safety.
Yeah.
And now I'm 50 years old. Right? I've been around football forever. It's really easy for my eye to say, oh, he could have naturally bent him into that hole because the safety's eyes turn to number two. Do you guys understand how we number receivers? Mm-hmm. Outside in, one, two, three. So the two receivers running the seam, and the safety's eyes go to the seam. Mooney's number three. He's supposed to bend that a little bit and get to that middle pocket between the split safeties. Justin's eyes have to see the backside safety. So this is what the fan doesn't understand. You have to check the backside safety to make sure it's not a poach coverage. What a poach coverage is a too high look where the backside safety cheats to number three strong side. Aaron Rodgers made a similar interception a couple weeks ago against the Bucs. It wasn't a poach safety, it was a lurk safety, but he had number three running across the middle. He didn't ID the backside lurker safety, and he throws it right to the Bucs safety. Okay? Or is that the Bears? Wait a second, what game am I on? Anyways, Aaron Rodgers, did you guys play the – yeah. Was that the Eddie Jackson interception?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Eddie Jackson's he's had three of them this year. Yeah.
He had one against the Niners. The Niners, you might be thinking.
Oh,
of.
I'm thinking the Niners. Okay, no, I'm thinking of Rodgers versus the Bucs. Yes.
Okay.
I was right the first time. That backside safety, Aaron doesn't check. One of the greatest players that's ever put on cleats. Doesn't check the backside poach safety. Is actually a lurk safety, kind of the same thing. And he picks him off. So my point is this. I love that Justin is trusting that number three is going to work to the middle of the field, and I'm going to ID this backside safety to make sure that he's not poaching. Now, you also see from the end zone copy that Justin, as he's looking at that, also sees the running back, I think it's Herbert at the time, go and make a move on this in this massive running lane to his right, and he takes off and get the first down. To me, that's nice intuition, because what you talk about with the quarterback is starting point. Do his eyes start in the right place? If they start in the right place and then they're married to his feet as if you had a string attached from your eyelids to your shoelaces, and every time your eyes move, your feet go with them. That's progression passing. Starting point, married feet, married to eyes. That's what you're looking for if a quarterback is looking at the right stuff. On that one, his eyes start in the right place, his starts to climb, his feet go forward, his eyes go forward, and he makes an intuitive play and runs forward for a first down.
See, this is fascinating. So what a lot of us are trying to figure out and are concerned with is whether he's getting better in reading the defenses, progressing through his reads, and his eyes being in the right place right away. And Trent Dilfer saw yesterday as a step forward in that stuff, right, Trent? Because that's and people, if that's true, that's great. But it's hard to see that and believe that as we watch the game in this town.
Well, what you're going to fight in this, and this is natural, nobody's fault on this. You're going to fight, and this is why stats aren't important when you're a player until you become a coach, because you realize stats create narratives. And the narrative when the stats aren't good is that he was bad. That will be the starting point for the narrative. And I think it's the job of people that actually care about truth, not narratives, to say, hey, some weeks that's going to be true. Some weeks it's absolutely a stinker on the stat page, and it played out that way in the game. Bad game equaled bad stats. Sometimes for a quarterback, bad stats equal bad players, bad scheme, bad play calls, but you actually did your job, right? And that's why I think grading out, I'll always talk about how he would grade out. Now, I'm not his coach. I don't know their grading system. I'll use a grading system that I went through at multiple teams. I would have graded him out in the 80s. He would have been an 86, an 88, 85, somewhere in there, because he was decisive. His eyes started in the right place. He hit, for the most part, open receivers. There's a lot of stuff that were out of his control. He had a couple double pluses. So the way you grade this is, you know, you have a minus, a flat, which is just did your job, a plus, which is something really good, and then a double plus, which is exceptional. And you usually don't have many double pluses in a game. he had a couple double pluses, a couple of scrambles, and then the deep ball to Mooney is an incredible throw. I would give him a couple double pluses. He would have been in the mid to high 80s.
Good stuff with Trent Dilfer, and congratulations on Lipscomb Academy, by the way, continuing to be undefeated. Last thing this week, Trent. You mentioned some of the offensive line problems that the Bears have. How little does Justin Fields have to work with when we're talking about pass protection and pass catchers?
I don't hate their pass catchers. I think Mooney has a chance to be a really good player. I love the tight end. I think he's a good player. I think they can use their back. So I'd say, you know, okay in pass catchers. Run blocking, they're square players, forward square players. That means they need to play at their shoulder square, the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
They're going to be good in run blocking. They're going to really struggle in pass protection. There's no fixing it. They're just so you know, there's no cure to this. Now, you can get better and put in pass protection schemes that are more full slides, more full gaps, covering up the inside players. But, yeah, center, right guard. Are going to get picked on. The center's getting destroyed. The center's getting picked on, yeah. And it's going to happen the rest of the year.
Okay. So there is no solving the pass protection with the current personnel. That's
not for extended drop back third and, you know, must knowing pass situations.
Yep.
It's knowing pass situations that you guys are going to struggle with. That's why you're seeing so many bootlegs. On first down, or actually, by the way, they didn't call a lot of passes on first down. I charted the first half, 12 runs out of 15 first downs based on a really quick run through the box score. Now, three of those are scrambles. One was a sack. So I had four more. So it'd still be 8 out of 15 were called runs. It's going to be tough in knowing pass situations to be successful. You're going to have to use play action and you're going to have to throw in knowing run situations. So you're going to have to throw in third and two. You're going to have to throw in third and one. You're going to have to be 60, 65% throw first on first down to protect those offensive linemen. Old Mike Holmgren stuff. That's what Mike Holmgren did for years in Green Bay.
Trent, great stuff. We'll talk to you after Bears and Vikings. Thank you, sir.
All right, guys. See ya.
Thanks, Trent.
Trent Dilfer, he watches the film. He hops in the Twitch stream and breaks it down for us. Gives very good perspective there. We'll talk to Jalen Johnson in a little bit. We have the Tony La Russa statement.
We do have the Tony La Russa statement. It's very long. There's a few parts of it that we should definitely make sure people know. He mentions the pacemaker getting installed. Then he says this, during an annual private exam after the first of the year, a second health issue also was diagnosed. I decided to delay confronting it until the offseason. While I was inactive with the pacemaker, the second issue was analyzed. The result is that a corrective plan has been developed by my medical team and implementation has begun. I informed the White Sox of the second issue while I was out of uniform dealing with the pacemaker. As I have stated previously, I continue to request privacy related to my health issue and appreciate those who have respected that request. My overall prognosis is good. I want to thank everyone who has reached out to me with well wishes related to my health. So that dovetails with what Dan Bernstein has been reporting about a second medical issue.
He also said he wanted to make it clear, at no time this season did either issue negatively affect my responsibilities as White Sox manager. And later in the statement, at no time have I been disappointed or upset with White Sox fans, including those who at times chanted "Fire Tony." They come to games with passion for our team and a strong desire to win. Loud and excited when we win, they are rightly upset when we play poorly. A great example of this support came in game 3 of last year's division series. No disrespect intended to any of my other teams and their fans, but that was the most electric crowd I have ever experienced.
Backing up just a little, he does take accountability, released in this statement. Our team's record this season is the final reality. It is an unacceptable disappointment. There were some pluses, but too many minuses. In the major leagues, you either do or you don't. Explanations come across as excuses. Respect and trust demand accountability. And during my managerial career, I understood that the ultimate responsibility for each minus belongs to the manager. I was hired to provide positive, difference-making leadership and support. Our record is proof I did not do my job.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it's a good statement. And we obviously hope that whatever the secondary and seemingly serious health issue that exists for Tony, although he says his prognosis is good, is that he is able to deal with it and live a happy and productive life.
Man.
And then obviously on the baseball side, he is done managing. This is Tony La Russa retiring again. He will not manage again for the White Sox and presumably anybody else. And now the question becomes the search and who is next for that team.
Yeah. I was asked yesterday by somebody, hey, who would you bet on if you had to bet on somebody as the manager? And I don't know. It's too early. There's obviously like in-house names that are somewhat silly. Like, I don't think Ozzie Guillen is getting this job. There are some recently fired big name managers like Joe Girardi and Joe Maddon, who I think would probably take this job, but I don't know that the White Sox want to do that. I mentioned this guy as a potential GM earlier in the year, but Chris Getz could be a manager, and that's in-house. That is a shuffling of some of the pieces they already have. That's a development guy. He was on Inside the Clubhouse and was asked by Bruce and David about managing and mentioned that he likes to lead, and whether that's in the dugout or that's in the office, he feels comfortable doing it. I don't think it's going to be AJ Pruszynski. It's certainly possible, but these are all the names that'll be out there. But keep your eye on Chris Getz if that is something he legitimately wants to do. AJ Hinch was a front office guy who became a manager. There are others who have just, you know, Aaron Boone out of the broadcast booth, whatever. You don't have to have coaching/managerial experience if you are a baseball guy in a lot of organizations.
Yeah, I think that makes sense, especially to modernize it and make it more of an extension of the front office. Front office experience would obviously be a valuable thing. Apparently, White Sox players and Jerry Reinsdorf were in attendance. This, Tanny, you haven't seen anything from Rick Hahn, right? So what we were talking about in transition, it seems like maybe the press release was worded oddly, but this is just the Tony La Russa press conference. I'm not seeing any quotes come across my timeline about offseason plans, player acquisitions, player movement, anything like that. This seems like it's a Tony La Russa press conference, and then the end of the season wrap will happen when the season's over.
As it should be. And yeah. We made light about that during crosstalk, and the White Sox certainly don't do everything the right way, but even for them to do something like that where they talk about the season while it's still going on, that would be pretty far-fetched, in my opinion, for them to do that. So
I agree.
Now, I haven't seen anything yet from Rick Hahn or anything like that, so yeah, I think it's just going to be about Tony today.
Well, okay, good. That's how it should be.
You know, Rick Hahn is Jewish, tomorrow being Yom Kippur, tomorrow evening, and then Wednesday, you know, it's possible that was a factor. So, you know, we'll see if Rick Hahn does end up speaking today when the media is there for a ball game of very little consequence tonight.
Yeah, you shouldn't do that, though. You shouldn't talk about the season before it actually ends.
Yeah, what if someone suffers a huge injury in the last couple of games or whatever? Yeah, I mean,
and I know you have enough sample size here, but still, just wait till the thing's over and done.
Talk Thursday. Right?
Or over the weekend, whatever.
Yeah, I baseball, they don't like to talk during the playoffs. They don't like to take away from the postseason, that sort of thing.
Day after the season ends, Thursday would be just fine.
Yeah, that seems to make sense. But pretty all-encompassing statement from Tony La Russa, who also said he will not be taking a front office position as he gets treatment and deals with this secondary, not secondary in terms of significance, but second health issue. That is making him retire from baseball.
Has it been addressed, guys? I haven't seen it in terms of Tony's future, if he will have any position of any kind. I think with the health issues, maybe he's going to go ahead and focus on that. I have not seen anything in regards to him having a sort of an advisor role, which I think is what I was just saying.
That yeah, he's not going to do anything like that at least next year. But he said the team is set up for success next year. So I don't think Tony La Russa is going to be, you might see him around, might be in Jerry's owner box or something like that, but I do not believe that there's going to be a title for Tony La Russa next season.
There's a lot to figure out with this team in terms of the roster construction, in terms of, you know, the holes that need to be filled, the surplus of bats, and we'll have a full off season to discuss it. But I think it is a well-written and, you know, classy message. He ends with gratitude. Does Tony saying that no manager has ever been more fortunate than he has in terms of the players and the organizations and such, but this is still obviously an ignominious end to a Hall of Fame career.
Jalen Johnson said that, you know, he looks at and circles the Justin Jefferson matchup now that Devontae Adams is out of the division. It's next week, but we don't know if Jalen's going to be able to play. What's the experience like of watching these games when you're not playing? We'll talk to him about that and more next on The Score.
Selling a little or a lot?
Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Here's the Chicago defense.
Jalen Johnson, Central High School.
Jalen Johnson.
That's knocked down at the line of scrimmage right there. That's Jalen Johnson at corner.
Back to throw. Slant. Broken up. Incomplete going for Ayuk. Jalen Johnson defending.
He's definitely balling, man.
Starting cornerback for your Chicago Bears.
Rodgers. And over the middle. Look out. Lazard. It was a hard shot there. Jalen Johnson was waiting for him.
And this is textbook. That's excellent. That's just how you draw it up.
We be busting them.
Takes you inside the locker room after every Bears game.
But, I mean, there's definitely some new things to prove out there for sure.
What do you want to prove?
That I'm one of the best corners in the NFL for sure.
He goes to throw. And it's picked up by Jalen Johnson. Run it perfectly. Jalen Johnson's taking one away. Covered him like glue.
Jalen Johnson.
Mom said that you were a critical thinker from the time you were a little kid.
Right.
What does she mean by that?
I think for me, it's like I'm not something that kind of just let things just like go by or like go over my head. Like I feel like when somebody is saying something, like I listen to exactly what that person said, and I hold them accountable to that. So I feel like for me, especially like for coming from my mom, there's some times where she may say something, I'd be like, well, you said it like this, so I can do this because technically you said it this way, type of thing. So I feel like.
So you like to debate also?
Yeah, people said I should have been a lawyer, but that was too much school for me.
Jalen Johnson with Parkins and Spiegel.
Yes, sir.
On 670, the score.
He's checked both of us in interview questions before. It's like, no. Aaron Rodgers said, I own you about the Bears organization.
Uh-huh.
He didn't say, I was like, yeah, you're right. I would never imply that it was about you specifically. But love that, man. Keep an interviewer on his toes. Jalen Johnson with us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline. Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Also, as always, kind enough to join us in our Twitch chat and stream. Jalen, what's up, man? How you doing today?
I'm doing good. Hey, man, I got to start us off with some unvery pleasing news for myself. I lost a bet.
Okay.
It was a bet against the Green Bay. I'm going to tell you who I lost it to. Her name is Lauren Cecilman or Cecilman. She was the Pan Am and medalist winner. I want to say she played soccer for Canada. And I lost the bet. The bet was if we were going to beat the Green Bay Packers. And I'll have to wear this cheese head. So I'm going to shamefully grab this cheese head.
Oh, no.
And wear this in this interview because I'm a man of honor. I'm at, So I'm going to put this on, sadly.
Oh, my God.
Jalen.
All right. Yeah, yeah.
Go get it. Oh, I'm worried right. about you, man.
Put it on. So this is Bears cornerback Jalen Johnson putting on a cheesehead to pay off a bet.
Lauren better be very special to you, Jalen, because
oh, my God.
Oh, that's a tough look.
Oh, my God.
That is a tough look right there.
Oh.
Can you pan up? Oh, he's doing it. He's adjusting the frame as well.
I at least have to be comfortable in my uncomfort.
Yeah. Embrace the discomfort. I have many questions. What was Lauren going to have to do for you if you beat the Packers?
She was going to have to wear my jersey.
She's going to have to wear your jersey. Did you get the points? Did you? Because you guys were an underdog. Like, did you? You know,
the point spread.
No. This was just a flat out win or lose.
Oh, Jalen.
The money line.
That's a tough bet for you, my man.
Yeah, you might want to talk to Danny when it comes to gambling stuff. But, I mean, don't do it at all.
I wasn't too. At the time, I wasn't too concerned. You know, I felt really good going into the game. But then, towards the end, you know, this started to come into my head. I had some last second regret. But it is what it is. I was going to bet on me and the guys any day.
You realize, Jalen, there will be some Meatball Bears fans, and I use that term very lovingly, very passionate Meatball Bears fans, who will be horrified by this. We'll think that you are a traitor. They might spell it wrong, but they will call you a traitor, Jalen, for doing this. Are you prepared for that?
I am a man of honor, and I said if I lost, I would do it, and I'm doing it 2 weeks later.
Okay, you're also a fashionable guy. Can you give us the report? Is it comfortable? How do you
this
feel?
This is
about
terrible.
It's terrible.
Nothing about this. It's uncomfortable. It looks horrible. Nothing about this damn hat is pleasing.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, wait a minute,
Jalen. Holy crap,
Jalen,
man.
We just heard a beep, man.
Jalen, did you not change the battery in your smoke detector?
See, I already have this hat on. I do not need any other shameful things going on. So we can change this to positive conversation. You know, we could talk about some very enlightened things going on in this world.
Yeah.
I'd appreciate it. The beep, this hat, you know, I got some bigger things going on.
Jalen! Okay, I just got one more. I got one follow-up question about this.
Go ahead.
Is it the beep only in this room that you do the interview, or is it beeping throughout the whole house?
Shamefully, since I am very shameful right now, I'm going to say throughout the whole house.
All
right.
Jalen, what are you
doing? You don't have to be ashamed. We're all friends here. You inspired.
It's all good.
Yeah.
You know, I am embracing this. It's all good.
You inspired some great radio last week. We did a whole segment the day after talking with bachelor, like people, things that they had allowed to happen in their bachelor paths when they were young, because you just don't notice. You're just living your life. So no shame. It's okay.
Oh, no, it's all good. I'm figuring things out, you know.
Yeah, now the cheesehead, though. Man.
So you guys are going to play the Packers again. Is there going to be double or nothing here, or what's going to happen?
My pride wants me to say double or nothing, but, you know, taking a chance of wearing this cheesehead again or something similar or worse, I don't know if I'm feeling that, you know. So yeah. I might just have to sit this one out, eat this for now, and then not ever have to wear this again.
Oh, my God. Jalen Johnson, get in the search 670 to score on Twitch so you can see Jalen Johnson, Bears star.
And you're promoting this. You're promoting this. You want people to see me in this.
Jalen, I'm shameless, man. I'll do basically anything for ratings.
That's crazy. It's all right. I'm not mad at that.
Yeah, exactly. You got to do what you got to do. We got to do what we got to do.
Such is the life we've chosen, Jalen.
Oh, man. Well, you said you wanted to talk about more positive things. I mean, I'd love to talk to you about your squad. Was that hard for you to watch? I mean, I know that you said last week, like, teams are going to try to run on you until you prove that you can't, and they ran on you guys again. How tough was that to watch?
I mean, honestly, for me, it was, I couldn't figure out what the issue was in the moment. Of course, I felt like it was just kind of hitting us from different directions, but kind of after really watching the film and seeing where it was, it's really just like little stuff. Like that's the thing that's really like hurting us, is like the small things about being in our gap, blitzing the right gap. And I feel like when we did that, like when we showed the tape of us doing just our line, just our job, like not even doing anything extraordinary, but just doing our job, fitting where we're supposed to fit. They couldn't really breathe. But then when we made mistakes, when we weren't in the position that we were supposed to be in, then that's when they made their plays. And then, of course, they had Daniel Jones had some unaccounted for runs in terms of the boots and things like that. They definitely brought that out, and he did a good job selling that. So I'm not going to discredit that part of the game, but I feel like for the most part, it was all mistakes on us not doing what we're doing, not trusting each other, trying to do too much and not just doing our job. I feel like we kept shooting ourselves in the foot. So I feel like we just got to clean that up and trust each other and just really find the fits and then just continue to play together as one unit.
That makes sense. I remember seeing a couple of run blitzes where guys ended up in the wrong gap, and it's hard to tell if that was the assignment or just a read or something. And you always learn stuff when you watch the film. We love that we get a chance to talk to you after. You mentioned Daniel Jones running on those bootlegs on the outside. Man, if you were there, would you have been storming that side as he's coming to your side, because he was wide open? I bet you would have liked to get a piece of Daniel Jones.
I mean, definitely, but I feel like at the end of the day, it's like most of the corners' coverage was down the field, so I don't know how much I really would have been able to get any hands on him or anything like that. But it was definitely just something that I feel like we needed to, I wouldn't even say prepare, but adjust to him running and selling that boot and making somebody truly accountable for him. But I don't think I would have been the one truly out of inning coverage. I don't think I would have really been able to do too much.
You mentioned adjust. You guys were better at it in the second half. Coach Eberflus said, you probably needed to adjust to it earlier. How does that work? Do you have to wait for halftime? Can stuff happen between series when the offense is on the field? Because we've seen some decent halftime adjustments from this coaching staff so far, but in this game, it felt like it called for it much earlier.
Definitely. I feel like it's some certain things I feel like you can go over and kind of draw quickly on the whiteboard, or kind of try to show the defense within a minute or 2 minutes, depending on the situation. I feel like you got to be ready to go back out there, and it's not like you can truly go into so much depth on the sidelines. So I feel like for us, we needed more time to truly adjust. It wasn't just as simple as, okay, you go to the quarterback. Like, no, different coverages, different stuns by the D-line will cause for different people to be in different positions. So, I mean, I feel like we just had to go over each and every coverage and each and every situation and who would account for the quarterback in the boots and different things like that. So it definitely took more time. I mean, we wanted it clearly to be done earlier in the game, but it wasn't that simple and that easy in that moment.
Jalen Johnson, it is hard to have a serious conversation with a man wearing a wedge of cheese on his head.
I almost forgot about it. I'm trying not to look at the camera. Yeah.
Jalen, it's the longest conversation I've ever had with someone wearing a wedge of cheese.
My dad's family's from Wisconsin.
Oh, really?
I've met many a cheesehead.
For anybody who's tuning in late.
I am not a cheesehead.
No. Well, right now you are.
Yeah. For the next eight minutes, you are.
Anybody who's tuning in late, Jalen lost a bet and is paying it off by wearing a wedge of cheese on his head right now while he's talking to us. Does it make you dumber? Because those Packer fans, like, do you feel dumber? Do you feel slower or anything like that now that you're representing the Packers here today?
No, the cheese head doesn't give me too much of a curse outside of a bad look. So, I mean, I'm still all right.
All right. So you told us last week, or maybe it was the week before. I think it was the week before, actually, that you, like, absolutely, now that Devontae is out of the division, you circle the matchups with Justin Jefferson, who had another monster game yesterday, by the way. How you feeling? You think you're going to be ready to go for that matchup this week? Give us whatever update you can, please.
I mean, honestly, it's hard to tell right now. Really just trying to get better, start moving on the field, start really trying to run and do some position drills and things like that, just trying to see where I'm really at. But I mean, there's no clear cut answer right now. Just trying to really see how my body responds to getting back out there and moving around and pushing myself a little more and just seeing how my body moves, how my body reacts. I mean, I feel like for me, I'm approaching every week as if I'm going to play, watching my film, studying what I need to study. Just trying to get my body in the best shape, put myself in the best position to succeed as if I'm playing on Sunday. And then if my body tells me no, then at least I know I'll prepare. But if I can go, then I'll be out there for sure.
Well, we hope you can, and I know you hope you can, because you, as Danny said, you want to face Justin Jefferson.
Oh, indeed.
What makes him great, Jalen?
Makes him great? Ooh. What makes him great? I would just say is, I would say his versatility in being able to move inside, outside. He can play the slot real well. And now that they have the new offensive coordinator, they put him in a slot to run option routes. They put him on the outside to run a lot of over routes, some double moves, and things like that on the outside. And even give him some jet sweeps. I mean, we seen him, he scored one last week or this past weekend on jet sweeps. So just them being able to put him in a lot of different positions really just set him up for success. So I feel like limiting his production is going to be tough on the whole defense because everybody's going to have to face him. Everybody's going to have to account for him. And they have a good running game. So it's not too much. You can't just sit there and go too high and double team him and things like that because you'll have a light box. So, I mean, at some point, you got to win your matchups. Everybody has to play a part in defending him, defending the run game. But, I mean, he's a talented player. He's been very good since LSU. So, I mean, he has a lot of good natural gifts, and he's only getting better.
What did – I don't know if you studied this part of it yet, but what did the Eagles do that was so successful against him?
Darius Slay won his one-on-one matchup for the most part. And I mean, for the most part, entirely, he won that one-on-one matchup, making plays on the ball, being in good positions, using his feet, and finishing on the ball. At the end of the day, he had a lot of PBUs and two interceptions as well. But they were flying around on defense as a whole. There were guys hitting them. There were guys coming, swarming. Everybody was playing together as a unit on that defensive side of the ball. And then Darius Slay just had a phenomenal game.
You know, you said in this piece with our friend Jeff Joniak that we played a little bit of on the way in that you like to debate, and we have noticed that you like to debate things, Jalen. So,
right. So
let's debate some stuff. I'll start. It's really not beneficial, Jalen, for a cornerback to follow a wide receiver all over the field. They should just stick to their side, like Richard Sherman, just defend their one side and nail that. That's my stance, right. And I'm sticking to it. Your thoughts?
My thoughts for me, like, do I agree?
Yeah,
he wants you to debate. He wants you to debate him.
Figure
you
might
want me to debate that. I feel like there's definitely pros and cons to both. I feel like the more impactful you are, I feel like the better player and the better you'll make your team. And I feel like if you can follow a number one wide receiver and limit their production, I feel like that'll only help showcase what you can do individually, and that'll help the entire defense in terms of what you can call. And just different things like that. I feel like it changes the whole dynamics of the defense when you have somebody who can potentially take out the team's number one threat. But I feel like at the end of the day, too, I mean, as a corner, that's putting you in more position to fail. At the end of the day, you go from two or three targets down on your side to now you're the hot route almost every pass play. So, I mean, I feel like that kind of just messes – it has the potential to mess your numbers up, but – if you are somebody who can do that, I feel like that definitely shines light to who you are and can also help your defense out a lot more.
We only got another minute or so left with Jalen Johnson. Last week, we talked about you being a picky eater, but you were going out downtown to get some food. What'd you get? Did you have like chicken tenders and mac and cheese? Were you adventurous with your meal last week? What'd you do?
I didn't get what I wanted to get. So I wanted to go to Steak 48. But I was getting there a little too late, so I wasn't going to make it. So I ended up going, I think it was Chef Ramsey's or Gordon Ramsay's. I think he has a burger joint downtown I tried. It was pretty good. The bun was a little different. But it was pretty good. It was pretty good. Of course, I didn't have too much of anything on there, just the meat, cheese, and bacon with barbecue sauce and some french fries. So I was good. I mean, it was a solid burger for sure.
Okay, so there was a debate by other people on this radio station. Jalen Johnson's injured. He shouldn't even be going out. We were like, that's ridiculous. You guys have to be able to.
That sounds easy for them to say.
Exactly. It was. Right.
I mean, I didn't say I was going to the club or I said I was going to eat and hang out.
Right. You're allowed to have dinner, right?
Yeah. I mean, I would hope injured people can still eat. I would hope. That's can go downtown and enjoy themselves.
Yeah, that's what we said. Yep. Injured people can still eat. Yep. You heard it here first.
Thank you for clarifying.
Yeah. Thank you. All right, well, congratulations. This concludes this radio segment. So you have paid off your bet to Lauren, Jalen Johnson, you now can take off that cheese head.
Oh, he's so ready. He did it so fast.
Oh, no. Hey, no, I was taking that off ASAP.
You are a man of honor, though, Jalen. You're the best.
All right, man. Indeed. Thank you so much. Get better, and we'll talk to you after the Vikings game, all right?
Yes, sir. Sounds good.
All right, thank you. That is Bears cornerback Jalen Johnson. Was not expecting that. That is fantastic.
I love that kid.
A number he's awesome. Of levels. He hasn't changed his smoke detector battery. It's Parkinson Spiegel on the Score.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Redirect.
We'll be able to react to the Tony La Russa announcement more and the Rick Hahn press conference, which is happening now on tomorrow's radio show. Thank you to Mark Grody and Jalen Johnson and Trent Dilfer, who were our guests today. Short show today and tomorrow because the Cubs basically no show. Grody in for us for a little bit on Wednesday and because of the Yom Kippur. And then no more preemptions. 4 hours, 2 to 6, starting Thursday.
That's it. I'm looking forward to the full show. We always leave stuff on the cutting room floor, no longer after Wednesday.
That's exactly right. Thank you to Connor O'Donnell for the Twitch chat and video stream. Thank you, sir. Shane Reardon, our executive producer. Thank you, sir. Chris Tannehill makes us sound better than we are each and every day. Cubs baseball coming your way. For Matt Spiegel, I'm Danny Parkins. We are Parkins and Spiegel. This is The Score.
It was so outside. It was so bizarre and so grotesque that I could only laugh.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.